live from the Poly Market Studio in LA. It's the Young Turks.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This TYT clip is brought to you by Squarespace. Start your own free trial today and build your own website. You can do it at squarespace.com/TYT and you get 10% off your first trial. All right, welcome to the Young Turks on a wild and woolly day. So I got a lot of stories for you guys to make, some small ones, but mainly big ones. Story of the day is in the next segment. That's going to be Joy Reid versus Jane Sanders. Oh no, battle royale. And gee, I wonder which side I'm going to be on. I can't quite tell. I actually like Joy a lot. Back in the day, we got along swimmingly. Anyways, real talk about how the president has literally lost his mind. Some now moving towards what we told you all along, 25th Amendment. There's some chance that he has dementia. We're going to get to that story a little bit later. And then, of course, the news is filled with the sexual harassment stories that are all coming out now. And we can't fit them all into the show, but we are going to do John Conyers a little bit later in the program. Geraldo Rivera in an interesting defense of Matt Lauer. And then we're going to have a debate in the second hour. John and I are. We're going to do old school TYT Supreme Court on whether the crass statements that Donald Trump made a bunch of years ago was acceptable or unacceptable. Yes, and that's actually going to be a debate. So that's going to be fascinating. So we got a hell of a show for you guys. First, let's start with some really serious news about what's happening inside the government. Go. Rex Tillerson is the Secretary of State, at least for now, but it looks like there's a movement afoot to get him out. Now, if you remember, he, of course, was the CEO of ExxonMobil. Why was he even Secretary of State in the first place? Well, Donald Trump and the Russians have some sort of friendship, let's put it that way. And the Russians' number one priority from the US government was to lift the sanctions so that they can complete a $500 billion deal with ExxonMobil. So now that's going to play into the story a little bit later, but they have not been able to lift those sanctions. Senate and the House voted to maintain them and, in fact, add new sanctions. And the vote was so overwhelming, 98-2, that Trump was forced to sign it because they could override his veto. By the way, he still has not actually implemented those sanctions, as usual, completely outside of the law for Donald Trump. But then the drama began when Rex Tillerson apparently called in a private meeting the president an effing moron. And then the president was unhappy with that when that news story broke. He claimed that it was fake, but you could tell that he knew that it was real, because among the different crazy things that he did was challenging his own Secretary of State to an IQ test. Yeah, that's when you know someone's really smart, when they publicly challenge others to IQ tests, including people on their own team. So now the New York Times with, at this point, I suppose, an unsurprising story that the Trump team is beginning to push Rex Tillerson out. So let me give you the details. The White House has developed a plan to force out Secretary of State Tillerson, whose relationship with President Trump has been strained, and replace him with Mike Pompeo, the CIA director, perhaps within the next several weeks, senior administration officials said on Thursday. When Trump was asked about this, he gave this awesome non-answer. He's here, Rex is here. Well, I suppose so, almost by definition. But if you have ever seen a non-committal answer, that is it. In other words, na 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 na. Okay, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the White House spokesperson, press secretary, said there are, when asked about this, there are no personnel announcements at this time. Na 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 na. It was a brief romance. In fact, I'm going to get to how brief it is in a second. And New York Times explains public disclosure of Mr. Kelly's transition plan may have been meant as a signal to the secretary that it is time to go. Nah, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what the point of that leak was. Yes, absolutely. Now, turning to Mr. Tillerson's reaction, Mr. Tillerson's departure has been widely anticipated for months, as the Times explains. But associates have said that he was intent on finishing out the year. I love this part. To retain whatever dignity he could. Even so, an end of the year exit would make his time in office the shortest of any Secretary of State whose tenure was not ended by a change in presidents in nearly 120 years. Now, given Trump's track record, it's more about Trump than it is about Tillerson. As I've said many times, I believe that he still thinks that he's on The Apprentice and has to fire a person a week. He has fired more people than you could possibly imagine. Any one of these fires might have been a giant scandal under the Obama administration, but under Trump, we have gotten quite used to them. But here's an interesting twist. In March, Tillerson had admitted that he, quote, didn't want this job. So that goes to my theory about the Russian sanctions. The only reason Tillerson took the job is because he wanted to lift those sanctions to help his good friends at ExxonMobil. He was not only the CEO, he was there for 41 years, obviously had a ton of stock options along the way, etc., and owed a lot of allegiance to that company. It's a half a trillion dollar deal with Russia that Exxon had, but the revenue from that deal could be as high as $9 trillion. Now, in March, you began to get notes from the Senate and the House that they were going to make sure that the sanctions could not be lifted. And all of a sudden, Tillerson's like, wait, what am I doing here? Now, remember, March is only a couple months into the term. And at that point, Tillerson's already like, oh, this turned out to be useless. So frustrations on both sides and rooted in what I believe is the core corruption of both parties. I mean, there's a reason why Trump put Tillerson in, and there's a reason why Tillerson accepted, and it has nothing to do with the fact that he had any experience in diplomacy, because he didn't. He had zero experience. It had everything to do with the fact that he was the CEO of ExxonMobil. Okay. And the Times further explains that Mr. Tillerson has often been on a different page than Mr. Trump, and he has spent much of his time reorganizing the State Department, slashing its budget, and pushing out more than 2,000 career diplomats. So I don't want you to get things twisted here. A lot of you, if you're Americans, or even more so if you're from anywhere else in the world, can't stand Trump. But that doesn't mean that the people that are opposed to Trump aren't necessarily good guys, especially within his own administration. No, Tillerson, I think, came in for corruption and then nearly pulverized the State Department. So I shed no tear for Tillerson leaving. I think he was a bad guy. I think he came in with bad intent and had very bad actions within the State Department. Now, just because Trump is worse doesn't make Tillerson a good guy. Now, how about the guy replacing him, Mike Pompeo? That is who they believe will come in. He is currently the CIA director. Why does Trump want him? Because, number one, Pompeo kisses his ass, and quite feverishly at that. That is the number one qualifying attribute that Donald Trump looks for, and it is explained in every article on this issue that they're like, oh, Trump likes the fact that Pompeo is pro-Trump, won't question Trump. So Pompeo, to some degree, politicized the CIA. To be fair to him, he also did point out that, yes, the Russians did interfere in the 2016 elections, but in every other way supported Trump lockstep. So Trump is looking forward to him doing that at State Department. Now, the second reason to support Pompeo is because the alt-right loves him. So you remember Sebastian Gorka, the guy who was so unhinged that Trump loved him on TV, but his chief of staff, John Kelly, had to remove him from the White House because he was such a lunatic. Well, in October, Sebastian Gorka, former advisor to President Donald Trump, told Breitbart, Pompeo is, quote, fully on board, very loyal to the president. That's Paige Laminar at HuffPost reporting that. And of course, the president loves that. And Gorka's a complete alt-right character. So the fact that he likes Pompeo is a very bad sign. And in fact, he went on to say, having someone like Pompeo come into the State Department would be great news. And if it's great news to the alt-right and Sebastian Gorka, it is probably terrible news for the country. So from bad to worse. That is the usual state of affairs for the Trump administration. Okay. Now we move to the second part of the story. Okay. Very credible news, obviously, that Rex Tillerson is leaving the State Department. They're thinking of replacing him with Mike Pompeo, who's a current CIA director. Well, that means the CIA director position is open. Well, it looks like a certain senator from Arkansas is Cotton to the position, if you will. Okay, that's Tom Cotton. He's relatively young. He's 40 years old. He served one term in the House. He served 3 years in the Senate. Enormously ambitious, and the number one way that he has shown that ambition is a ruthless ability to deliver for donors. I've talked about him ever since he's been in the Senate and shown in every instance that if there is a far right position, Tom Cotton will take it. If there is a pro donor position, pro billionaire position, Tom Cotton will not only take it, but feverishly defend it. So that is who Tom Cotton is. So now we go to the Times for explaining how this is going to break down. Mr. Pompeo would be replaced at the CIA by Senator Tom Cotton, a Republican from Arkansas, who's been a key ally of the president on national security matters, according to the White House plan. Mr. Cotton has signaled that he would accept the job if offered, said the officials, who insisted on anonymity to discuss sensitive deliberations before decisions are announced. So why do they like Tom Cotton? Well, for the most obvious and consistent reason. Here's a quote from Reuters. He is a staunch Trump ally. When Trump is doing a job interview, number 1 through 9 priorities is, how much do you kiss my ass? And Tom Cotton is excellent at that. That's actually his expertise. That's his main claim to fame is, if you're a donor, I will kiss your ass. If you're a defense contractor, I will kiss your ass. If you're the president, Donald Trump, oh my God. He's going to work on you. So Trump loves this and goes, oh, Tom Cotton, this guy won't stop kissing my ass. This is perfect. I'll make him the CIA director. The CIA, where I could maybe manipulate some intelligence to tell you that I don't have a connection with Russia, and they didn't interfere in the election. Now, whether they go that far is up for discussion. Tom Cotton in the past has somewhat lukewarm response to that, but has said that Russia seemed to have played a role in the 2016 election. But there's one other thing that they might want to fix in terms of intelligence at the CIA, if you will, and that is the issue of going to war with Iran. But hold, one more note about Tom Cotton before we got to the Iran issue, which I think is the most important. What does he think about some of the terrible practices that the CIA has done in the past? Well, loves it. He said, quote, waterboarding isn't torture. Well, that's like your opinion, man, but actually the law says that it is. So here's a guy who has raised his hand and said, I will not abide by the law. It clearly says under US law as well as international law that waterboarding is torture. But if I'm the CIA director, maybe we go back to torture. So that's who Tom Cotton is. Okay. Now, but the main qualifier other than ass kissing is that he has, quote, vigorously opposed the Iran nuclear deal. So Tom Cotton is an enormous war hawk. And in fact, on the Iran deal, when he first got into the Senate, he immediately wrote a letter saying to the Ayatollah, hey, listen, I want to make sure that I can subvert the negotiations of the United States government. If you do a deal with the US government, we promise that we will not abide by it. What an unbelievable thing to do. If Nancy Pelosi had gone behind George Bush's back and penned a letter to the Ayatollah saying, don't listen to our commander in chief, I'm telling you that we will not follow what he says, it would have been unbelievable. It would have been the biggest story. It would have been considered a betrayal. And in some ways, it would have been. And Cotton did it, and he got 47 Republicans to sign along. Oh, yeah. The president don't trust his word. We don't care. We won't follow the laws. We won't follow our treaties. They signed that letter. It was atrocious. Tom Cotton, his donors want the war, and he's going to give them war. Here's Heather Digby Parton at Salon writing, it seems likely that he's among the advisors who pushed the president toward decertification of the Iran deal based on no evidence. Now, we did the deal, and in the deal, if you don't remember, we took Iran's uranium away, so that they cannot make a nuclear weapon. That sounds like a pretty good deal, right? Because the whole point was we don't want them making nukes. In fact, that's what the right wing was going nuts over. Oh my God, Iran's going to get a nuke. It's an existential threat for everybody. Okay, great. So we got rid of their nukes. Yeah, but I don't like Obama and I actually really wanted war. That was just a pretext for war. So okay, now they could decertify the deal if Iran is not following the deal, but you know, and the Republicans are looking for anything where they didn't cross a T or dot an I because they want that war. But they haven't found any. There's no evidence that Iran has not abided by the deal at all. So Tom Cotton's like, I don't know, we should decertify anyway. Who cares? Because Cotton wants war. His donors want war, and they're going to get that war if Tom Cotton can get some evidence at the CIA. Maybe it'll be a slam dunk like we've seen in the past. So this is really, really bad news. There is no more warmonger and a person detached from facts and evidence than Tom Cotton. So it's not surprising that Trump would pick a guy like that. But if you thought the war in Iraq was bad, wait till you get a load of the war with Iran. So I hope to God that doesn't happen and somehow this is derailed, but likely it'll go through. So buckle up and brace for impact. Okay. Oh my God, if they start a war. Jesus Christ. Okay. Anyway, oh my God, Iran is so much larger than Iraq. It's so much more powerful. These morons have no idea what they're getting us into. Okay, or maybe they do. They think, who cares? All these people will die, but my defense contractor friends will make money. My oil company friends will make money. They're the worst people on earth. Okay, now let's go to, speaking of the worst people on earth, let's go to Roy Moore. Okay. Interesting new revelations about Roy Moore. This is not about the children that he molested when he was in his 30s. This is about his political beliefs. Now, that's perfectly relevant to the race, right? So the Republicans complaining about, stop talking about how he molested 14-year-olds. Okay, fine, here, we'll talk about what he believes. So, think progress reports here. Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore co-authored a 2011 study course in which a speaker contended women should not be allowed to run for public office, and if they did, people have a moral obligation not to vote for them. Well, to be fair, I mean, you know, what are we going back, dozens of years here? Oh no, 2011, that's it. In 2011, he co-authored a book, curriculum is in a nonsense school that isn't an actual school. It's meant to trick people and say, this is the Christian way and come pay for this and then we'll tell you how to, you know, subjugate women and, great, let's do it, right? So Roy Moore was involved in that in 2011. On this, like, this didn't get him disqualified. Like, the Alabama voters look at stuff like this, they're like, women should know their role, right? Yeah, Roy Moore. The child molestation. Well, that's 50-50, let's think about it. Anyway, look, let's get you to the details so you could make up your own mind as to whether it was really that bad. Well, here was one of the lessons from that book that Roy Moore co-authored, or the course that he co-authored. The title is The Biblical Role of the Women is Opposed to the Idea of Female Magistrates, meaning people, women in government. Number one, the woman was created to be a helper suited for men. Number two, she is called to fulfill the roles that God has determined for her. God or the men in charge. Anyway, number three, she is to be a keeper at home. Number four, she is to be the mother of the children. In other words, know your role, literally. And so if you're a woman in Alabama and you're thinking of voting for Roy Moore, okay, I think you ought to have your head examined. But if you want to be subjugated and denied certain rights that every other American has, go for it. In fact, they also in this course criticized the suffragette movement that got the women the right to vote. And what are they doing? Why do they have shoes on? They're outside. Shouldn't they be bare feet and at home? Well, give the right to vote. This is the American Taliban. So his co-professor in this course at the Vision Forum was William Einwechter. And so what does Mr. Einwechter have to say about women? He says they are, quote, the weaker vessel. These are not random quotes from this gentleman. This is in the course. He said about women, she's not a warrior. She's not a judge. She's a woman. This is the Republican Party in Alabama. Okay. And by the way, you can prove me wrong. You can show me that it's not the Republican Party in Alabama if the Republicans don't vote for this guy. If you do, you're like, yeah, of course, women. Weaker vessel. Anyway, here's more from Einwerter. Sometimes we may have had a hard time discerning the faith, the character, and the views of a particular candidate. But we can usually discern if the candidate's a man or a woman. And so there's no excuse on that one. In conclusion, we've argued that scripture teaches us that it is not God's revealed will for a woman to serve as a civil magistrate and thus to rule over men in the civil sphere. No. You can't rule over us. We rule over you, says Einwerter. Einwerter. Okay. And one last one, I think, from him. Yes. The world is in such pressing need for mothers, motherly women, that none can be spared for public life. Why don't you just be the baby machine that we decided you should be and shut up about it? You being in government and ruling over us. No, that's not how it works. And Roy Morris says, yes, vision form, this course, teaching with this guy. Wonderful, wonderful. Women know your role. If you're a woman in Alabama, you vote for Roy Moore. I guess you had it coming. And if he takes away your rights, you should celebrate. Yes, back to bare feet in the kitchen. Yes. No, me, a judge, of course. I can't do that. I'm weak. Okay, if you feel that way, go vote for Roy Moore. I find you to be pathetic. Okay, strong women in Alabama, and I believe they exist in numbers, if they see this, I think we'll get a sense of Roy Moore's true character. Okay, one last thing. Vision Forum, this nonsense non-college, was run by a guy named Doug Phillips, but it doesn't exist anymore. Now, wait a minute, they were just teaching the course back in 2011. It's not that long ago. Why? What happened? Well, let's find out. Vision Forum closed in.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
2013, after Phillips resigned, having admitted to a lengthy and inappropriately romantic and affectionate relationship with a woman who was not his wife. Shortly thereafter, that woman, Lourdes Torres Mantifol, sued Phillips and Vision Forum, detailing an emotionally, psychologically, and sexually abusive relationship that started when she was just 15 years old. Birds of a feather flock together. So there you have it. All the good Christians down in Alabama with their family values in the Republican Party. You like family values? How you like them values? Women should know their role, and apparently so should little girls 14, 15, and 16 years old. These conservatives down in Alabama that support Roy Moore knowing this stuff are honestly depraved and sometimes, unfortunately, proud of it. Your choice, you want to back this guy, that's your call, but then we know exactly who you are. Okay. So, I'm not done with him by damn sight. Let's keep going on, Roy Moore. One other story. So, recently, Roy Moore has given a speech at Magnolia Springs Baptist Church in Alabama, and he's got to figure it out. What the real problem is here. It's not that he tried to sexually assault a 14-year-old when he was 32. No, that's not the problem. It's not that he tried to rape a 16-year-old when he was in his 30s in the back of a parking lot. No, that's not the problem. It turns out the problem is lesbians and gays. Let's hear it from the horse's mouth.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies. debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Oh yeah, of course. They're out to get him. That's the real issue. He mentions liberals and socialists in there. I didn't know there were a lot of socialists down in Gadsden, Alabama, because that's where all the stories are coming from. The stories of the young woman who he assaulted and molested. The stories of how he was banned from the Gadsden Mall in Alabama because he was a pervert chasing after young girls when he was in his 30s. The stories of how he's banned from football games, and the cops had to watch out to make sure that he didn't go after the cheerleaders in the high school football games. Those were all came out of Gadsden, Alabama. I didn't know that Gadsden was filled with socialists. But let's put that aside for a second. The gays and the lesbians? I did not know that Gadsden, Alabama was a hub for lesbian activity. They have no morals whatsoever. Whenever they're caught doing something, so it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was the gays and the lesbians. But wait a minute. What did a member of the LGBT community have anything to do with when you cornered a 16-year-old girl in a parking lot and ripped her clothes off? And then you threw her body out of your car in the cold of night. There was no gay or lesbian person in that car. You were in that car. But the thing is, they don't believe in personal responsibility. And so whenever they get into trouble, it was him, it was him, it was him. Scapegoat, scapegoat. Is it a Muslim? Muslim doesn't make sense. I don't know, let's blame it on the gays and lesbians. Or maybe it was a Mexican, but it wasn't me, it wasn't me. No, it was you, Roy Moore. Okay, so now that part is loathsome. And you know, the thing that drives me crazy is the guy was leading the polls before we found out he was a child molester. Now it's kind of 50-50. Okay, so good folks down in Alabama with the Republicans. Lots of family values there. But even before we found out he was a child molester, he said Muslims shouldn't be allowed to serve in Congress, so he doesn't understand the US Constitution. It told you a story about how in 2011 he says women shouldn't be in office or in government. And Alabama Republicans are like, yeah, that still sounds right. Everything is the fault of the gays and the lesbians, and they shouldn't have the same rights as us. Yeah, sounds about right. He had said that the transgenders don't have rights. That they don't have any rights. That American citizens, because of their gender identity, should not have any rights at all. This guy was a monster from day one, even before we found out he was a child molester. All right, so and he confirms it here, and these are not old stories. This just happened. All right, so that's the substantive part, and then it took a weird turn. That was not the weird part. The weird part's about to come. There's two different protesters that then spring up in this church. One is a legit guy who is bothered by Roy Moore's assertions. He stands up in the church and says some powerful stuff. And of course, he's immediately escorted out. Second guy is from the Jimmy Kimmel show. and he's pretending to be a Roy Moore supporter. That's where it gets a little fun, to be honest. Let's watch.
Never once has anyone stated anything like it's occurred in the last 3.5 weeks.
The entire town,
all over the line. Five statewide campaigns.
Why would they lie?
And three countywide campaigns. We can stop it and get them out.
Hey, come on, get out of here, dude. We're here for the judge. She's a man's man. The judge is a man's man. You got this, judge. You got this. Don't listen to him. Get out of here. That's a man's man. Does that look like the face of a molester? That's a man's man.
So the actual protester was saying, stood up and said, "What, you think all the girls are lying? Why are everybody in the town of Gadsden, Alabama lying except you? That doesn't make any sense." Then the Kimmel guy gets up and he goes by Jake Bird. Well, that's not his real name, as you saw, it's Tony Barbieri. Man's man. But my favorite part is he keeps calling him judge. And he keeps saying, "Does that look like the face of a molester?" It's a great twist. He's going to do it again. Watch.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Transgender troops he favors, and he opposes Trump's ban on transgender troops.
You're kicking out your number one ban, Judge. Your number one ban. You know what? Because I believe in the judge, and I don't believe in the ladies who are alive. Does that look like the face of someone who hits on teenage girls? No. That's a man's ban.
Gotta hold it. Like Pastor Ganella said. Thank you. Pastor Ganella said we gotta hold it down, pro or con. Let's do that.
Okay, that was fun. He has the shirt on, "Gimme More." And part of the point of this gag is that when he was in the parking lot and the reporters were there, a bunch of the Roy Moore supporters came up to him. They're like, "Oh, where'd you get that shirt? I want that shirt." So then Roy Moore finds out that he was actually with Jimmy Kimmel, gets upset and sends this tweet where he says, "Jimmy Kimmel, if you want to mock our Christian values, come down here to Alabama and do it man to man." What's that mean? What, are you going to get into a physical fight with him? What a clown. Oh, yeah. I'll punch you. What are you, a child? Okay. On the other hand, a Republican congressman in Montana slammed a reporter to the ground. You never know. They believe in physical violence, so it's possible. And second of all, what do you mean Christian values? He's not mocking you for your Christian values. He's mocking you for molesting 14-year-old girls. Is that your Christian values? So Kimmel then tweets back at him and says, "Sounds great, Roy. Let me know when you get some Christian values, and I'll be right there." And then one more from Roy Moore. He says, "Despite DC and Hollywood elites' bigotry towards Southerners, Jimmy will save you a seat on the front pew." Yeah, he's not mocking Southerners. He's mocking you. And if you think that Jimmy Kimmel saying, "Hey, you shouldn't have try to have sex with 14-year-olds or rape 16-year-olds, applies to all Southerners, there's some chance that you are the one disrespecting Southerners. Nobody is accusing everybody else of doing that. They're only accusing you of doing it. This guy would have been atrocious and terrible and un-American even without any of the sexual allegations. Doesn't believe that transgender people should have the same rights as you. Doesn't believe lesbians and gays should have the same rights as you. In fact, he blames them for his own problems. Doesn't believe women should have the same rights. And of course, he doesn't believe Muslims should have the same rights. And no one's even asked him about Mexicans and blacks. God knows what he thinks about that. This guy is despicable through and through. All right, we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, does Donald Trump have dementia? And Joy Reid versus Jane Sanders. Wow, that is going to get very interesting. So come right back. Thanks for listening to this podcast. You're only halfway through, so hold, stay right here. Just want to remind you, if you want to get all 5 segments of the Young Turks commercial free, these are just 2 of them. Every day we do it. So go to tytnetwork.com/join, and you get the whole 5 segments, 2 hours, ad free. Do it now. All right, back at the Young Turks. Cenk and John with you guys. We got a lot of stories for you all. So let me just give you 2 quick tweets. Ruth Benedict says, why are sexual predators asked to step down? Isn't sexual assault a crime? Why on earth are these people not being arrested? Very, very fair question.
It depends on what they did, obviously.
Of course. As you know, and some issues are nuanced and some are not.
And some are outside of statute of limitations, unfortunately.
And some might just be that the cops are doing an investigation right now. I mean, if they don't arrest Harvey Weinstein, then we have no justice in this
country. Just came out today that one of those investigations has been stalled, apparently, against Harvey Weinstein. One of the accusers said.
Jeremy Kohler says, if this tax bill passes, there's only one thing to say. Fuck the Republican Party. They hate America. They only care about money.
Jeremy, we knew that before.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you can go ahead and say that right now.
Yeah.
Let's save you the trouble, okay? All right, so now, John and I are going to do a number of stories together. I'm doing the first one, okay? So you all know that Matt Lauer obviously was in a lot of trouble because of allegations of sexual harassment, significant ones, and then was fired yesterday by NBC News. He was their top star in terms of being a host of the Today Show, which is their most popular program and most profitable one as well. He's their top star in terms of how much money they paid him, which was $28 million a year. But some of the allegations were quite significant. Geraldo Rivera did not see it that way, and he started tweeting. This was a bad idea. So we do want to discuss whether he has any points at all. So let me give you his tweets. He says, sad about Matt Lauer, great guy, highly skilled, and empathetic with guests, and a real gentleman to my family and me, but perhaps not a gentleman to others. Anyway, he says, news is a flirty business, and it seems like the current epidemic of sexual harassment allegations maybe criminalizing courtship and conflating it with predation. What about Garrison Keillor? Okay.
Wait, what about him?
So apparently he thinks that that was no big deal. Don't know that, and we discussed this yesterday, I don't know all the details of what Garrison Keillor is accused of, so I can't comment on that. John, I'm going to go tweet by tweet, but let me pause here. Look, I think all these folks are in a tough position when they know and like a person. So he knows and apparently likes Matt Lauer, yeah, and their families know each other. So if I was close to someone, it'd be tough. You have to get past that and go, what he did was wrong. Okay, yeah. But I think that Geraldo is now saying there is some courtship, right? And it does happen in some office environments, including news. Actually, let me give you one more tweet and then let's talk about it. He says, jerks are jerk in dating. Sexual harassment should be confined to situations where a superior imposes himself on a subordinate who feels unable to complain because of power of perp or feared consequences to victim's employment. Shouldn't be used to get even with bad bosses or hated exes.
But,
yes.
But think like, but he's saying this in response to the Matt Lauer stuff, which is exactly what he's saying it should be confined to. So it comes off as bizarre that you're taking this opportunity to say that people are just going wild. That he was the highest paid, perhaps in some ways, most powerful person there. And one of the women specifically said that she went along with a sexual thing because of her fear of losing her job and didn't talk about it immediately afterward because of the shame and probably continued fear about if she had brought it up a few years ago. And they had to decide, should we listen to her or should we, you know, and then fire our $28 million a year earning Matt Lauer? I mean, we know how historically that's gone at a lot of these companies. Maybe they would have given her a little bit of money and then she would have been shuttled out the door. And maybe that's the end of her career.
So I don't think that it's unfair to point out that you shouldn't believe every allegation. And especially if there's going to be any kind of proceeding, and here there isn't. It's just a matter of internal investigation, and Matt Lauer doesn't seem to even disagree with the firing. Certainly hasn't said anything along those lines.
He said some of what has been alleged isn't true. There were some caveats.
That's
but he
right.
implies that some of it is true.
Yeah. So I just think that Geraldo, even if he were to make this point, and it's a fair point that, yes, some small percentage of women might want to, you know, go after bad bosses or people that they were in relationship with, you at least have to point out that it's a very small percentage of women, mm-hmm. Because historically and statistically that's the case. And number two, this is a bizarre one to fight on. I mean, I get it because he's friends with Matt Lauer, but it seems like Roger Ailes, who Geraldo also defended in the beginning, he later changed his tune on that, but also described what Roger Ailes was doing as flirty. Both Roger Ailes and Matt Lauer are alleged to have taken their pants off. Ailes chased a woman around the room with his pants off. And so I think that goes way, way beyond flirty.
Yeah, I guess devil's advocate, he might be thinking it's that he's not specifically responding to the Matt Lauer. It's just, oh, look, another one. Now let me talk in a meta way about all of it. I don't know that that's what he's doing, but that might be how he defends himself. But I think, and look, he's going to undercut himself even more in the next tweet, which is far worse. But the general idea that in this sort of situation, very often, people like Geraldo and others feel the need to say, well, what if they're just coming after bad bosses or hated exes? Or what if they're just looking for money? Like, it's not just that, like, he's not necessarily the person to be delivering that message because he's coming off as a guy who's sweating down the back of his neck right now about this whole situation. Let's ignore all of that. To any guy that wants to make that, like, comment in the future, we got it. Everybody already knows the concern about the possibility that there will be reprisals against bosses or somebody you're pissed off against, or maybe some girl wants money, or maybe some girl lies. Everybody has already heard that point. It's not like, oh my God, Geraldo makes an amazing idea. What if they were lying? We get that. And obviously, every case involves looking at the specific details. But when your response largely is just that, it seems like you're more concerned about the man in this case. And in this case, it's a man who clearly did it, Matt Lauer, who did terrible things. And so, yes, we're going to react negatively to this. Everybody already gets the concerns about the possibility of deception. Nobody's ever going to jail without people investigating what actually happened. And so you don't need to continually reiterate it over and over as if that's the only thing that we should be thinking about at this point.
One more tweet from Geraldo. He says, sexual harassment allegations should require, one, made in a timely fashion, say within 5 years. Two, some contemporaneous corroboration like witnesses, electronic or written communications. With money settlements in multi-millions, slight chance exists some victims are motivated by more than justice. It does seem like it's a Christine O'Donnell moment when that was a person who ran for Senate in Delaware. She was the Republican and Tea Party candidate. And she famously made an ad saying, I'm not a witch, where people were like, why were you a witch? Right? And so now Geraldo.
Suspiciously, her opponent did not make clear that they weren't a witch or a sorcerer or a necromancer or anything.
Yes, that was weird. Anyway, so Geraldo's wrong about point number one because he says, oh, you got to make it within 5 years. But in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, until maybe just a couple of months ago, people were not in a position to be able to come out without fear of reprisals, which there were plentiful. People being fired, which happened all the time. In fact, Roger Ailes was and Bill O'Reilly were accused of firing people if they wouldn't have sex with them.
Yeah.
So, and you work at Fox News. I think you should be familiar by now with that. And a lot of that happened well past 5 years ago, and that is exactly what was wrong with the culture back then. So saying, oh, if it's 5 years ago, yeah. In other words,
you want a grandfather in abuse?
Yeah, it feels like Geraldo saying that. Remember, whatever you think you might catch me doing was 6 years ago or earlier. Anyway, and a lot of these women have had.
It has to be within the. You can't make a claim after 5 months, 5 years, and 3 months or so.
And like 21 days. Not that I means anything. I'm just
within that time. That's enough.
Anyway, and most of these women have contemporaneous corroboration. In fact, the New York Times, Washington Post, different outlets that have reported on the different cases, have been methodical in pointing out who they said it to at the time, not just today. Not like, oh, there's stuff going on. To Geraldo's point about, I'd like to get rich, I'm going to say it now when it didn't really happen in the past. No, they told their ex-boyfriends, their husbands, et cetera, et cetera.
Which makes it, at the end of the day, like kind of, I'm not intending to offend him, but kind of a stupid point to make. First of all, about the 5 years, that's ridiculous. If you committed a crime, it's a crime. I don't care how long is gone. We can still judge you based on it. But then about the contemporaneous thing, does he think that people are losing their jobs purely based on one comment? They don't look into it at all. There's nothing. No, Matt Lauer did not lose his job without any evidence that it was true whatsoever. Obviously, the companies are already doing those sorts of investigations. In the most high-profile cases, like Harvey Weinstein, like Roy Moore, we have tons of contemporaneous witness statements and other forms of evidence. That's already there, and the people who are doing these investigations know that they need that. It just comes off again as this sort of weird knee-jerk need to do what you think is defending yourself, pointing out stuff that's abundantly clear to everyone who's already been paying attention to this issue.
Look, maybe it's because he's at Fox News, and there are allegations of a person we definitely will not name who is looking for money when she was not in a similar situation as many other women at Fox News were. And I don't know if that's what's under his skin. I have no idea because I don't know any of that internal stuff. So, guys, look, to John's point, yes, of course, at some point there'll be a bad actor. Of course, not every person is dropped from heaven and is telling the truth. But the overwhelming majority of them are, right? So it's, think about your balancing here, right? So when people say, I believe the women, what they're saying is, in the past, the women were not believed, right? Geraldo's rule, 5 years ago, they were not believed, right? So it doesn't mean that every woman is telling the truth. And yes, somebody might look for money, and yes, somebody might be mad at an ex or something like that. And yes, that should all be properly investigated. But it doesn't look like Matt Lauer is that case. And like I said earlier, in a Facebook post last fall, as HuffPost explains, Rivera also referred to journalism as a flirty business. He said he regarded one of the former Fox chief's accusers, that's Ailes' accusers, with, quote, extreme skepticism due to his own personal experiences.
Yeah, and look, news, I guess, can be a flirty business. A lot of businesses are flirty businesses. They tend to be high-stress environments where people spend long hours in a small environment with the same people. They have shared experiences of extremely intense natures. I used to be a waiter. They're very incestuous areas, restaurants. Everybody who waits tables can probably attest to that. And there are certainly areas in which some sort of romance is perfectly fine. If there's no power dynamic, and if it's clear that it's a consensual thing that's entered into in a sensitive and delicate fashion, and it's not simply someone creeping someone out, making them afraid to come to work, it's not a boss exercising weird sexual control over their employees, then of course businesses are going to continue to be a place where people can have relationships. And we do have to have that conversation. It's also possible, hypothetically, that we focus now on this moment we have to actually do something about the habitual, long-term, powerful harassers, get some kind of action, and then we can find out if we can still hook up afterward. Maybe we should attend to the more important stuff first.
Yeah, and look, is news a quote-unquote flirty business? In my limited experience, yes. I don't mean here, but when the tales of local news that I would hear back in the day when I briefly worked in local news, and then the tales I would hear in cable news, they're just secondhand. So, but yes, there are a lot of hookups. And at some point, will one of these cases go too far? Probably, right? But what I mean by too far is someone will make a wrong charge. And then there'll be a huge overreaction to that too. Mm-hmm. And then the pendulum will keep on swinging.
One final point. I think I mentioned this in our production meeting this morning, but we very often, like you say, very often they make the case that women could lie. And as you say, well, first of all, it has happened very rarely, not nearly as often as some people would like you to believe that they do, but it could happen. And they will often say, well, the fear is that then that will cause them to not people to not trust women who are telling the truth, which is totally true. But we never actually flip that, where 9 times out of 10, these guys who are accused of this habitually, naturally deny that it happened. But then we find out that it did happen. Aren't they hurting men who are innocent's chances? Why are we never worried about the actions of lying men in this case?
Well, that's a great point, too. That's right. So last couple of things here. Apparently, in a 2014 interview, Rivera lauded workplace culture in the 70s and 80s and bemoaned contemporary workplace protections. I have a sense that this is not going to end well for Geraldo.
Those madmen, man. They knew yeah. what was up.
I don't think that lauding the culture of the 70s and 80s is the right way to go. He said, now if you look at an intern with cross eyes, you go to jail. I mean, you get fired. It was almost like sex was free. You have no HR, no human resources, no workplace rules against it back in the day.
Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It is not a good thing that there was no rule of law or human resources to protect anyone back in the day. But for guys like Geraldo and a lot of the other guys at Fox News, and now we find out in other places as well, they did think those were the good old days.
Yeah.
When they were in charge and there were no rules to protect anyone else. Now, this turned out to be obviously a bad idea, so Fox News then said Geraldo's tweets do not reflect the views of Fox News or its management. We were troubled by his comments and are addressing them with him. In other words, oh, for God's sake, what are you doing getting us back in trouble?
Now, that's a good statement for them to put out.
Yeah, and then Geraldo finally came back around with a nice backpedal here with reaction to my tweets today on sex harassment makes clear I didn't sufficiently explain that this is a horrendous problem, long hidden. Harassers are deviants who deserve what is coming to them. Often victims are too frightened to come forward in a timely fashion. I humbly apologize. And please do not look into anything I might have done 5 years earlier.
We don't know anything.
Okay, no. Anything. Seriously, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, and again, he's on the periphery of what he's saying. There's conversations that need to be had socially within men as a community. These conversations do need to happen. I think that you're stressing them at a time that is not, in a way, and at a time that is not ideal.
Yeah, to say the least. This has got bad idea genes written all over it.
It does.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'm going to do a quasi defense of something terrible that Trump said. Interesting. And we're going to ask you to vote on it too. So buckle up, old school TYT Supreme Court coming. Thank you for watching or listening to this free podcast of the Young Turks. We want to make sure that you get some portion of the show every day. But if you want the full show, which is actually 5 segments, come become a member and support independent media as well. TYTnetwork.com/join. Meanwhile, enjoy the free podcast. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.